shouldn't take any adjusting, knows the club, knows the area, certainly knows all the pubs, thanks to Jack Grealish.
I do believe fundamentally, I think there'll be one deal like this summer.
Hello and welcome back to the Villa Filler podcast. I'm here as always with my good friend Dan Wiseman. Dan, I mean, we're only mentioning it because we have to and because the season's ended, but Crystal Palace 5, Aston Villa 0. It's actually quite nice of Villa to end the season exactly how we started, mate, wasn't it? With a 5-0 defeat.
That's what I'm thinking, mate. 4D chess, right? 4D chess. You've got to think of the response that we saw after the last 5-1 defeat on the opening day, or, you know, 5-goal defeat on the opening day of the season, the bounce back that we saw immediately. We're just getting it in early doors so that we can start next season with that same rebound. It's genius for me. And I'd rather lose, you know, 5-0 on the opening day of next season. Get it out of the way. Last day of the season, it's a dead rubber. Nobody cares. The Villa fans being other, you know, slightly more, what's the right word? 18 plus terms. They didn't care too much for the result on Sunday. Just get it out of the way, and then we can have that fresh start, the bounce back, first game of next season. Genius.
Genius from Unai. He's always innovating, mate. He's always looking for new ways. Guys, if you wanted to hear any chat about the podcast, then about that game, then I would recommend you listen to other podcasts, because the season's over now. And thankfully, we don't have to talk about that kind of stuff anymore. But, you know, we thought we'd come to you guys with a jam-packed transfer rumour episode, because a lot has happened since Dan and I last spoke. I didn't think we'd see this many links so early on, mate. I think, you know, we should sort of start with the one that is seemingly done, which is Ross Barkley to Aston Villa. This is... I found the reaction to this quite interesting, mate, because if we flash back, yeah, even to the Luton preview, we're talking about Ross Barkley being this massive threat, and there was all of the, like, Euros chatter only one or two months ago. You know, everybody was clamouring for Ross Barkley to make it on the plane. And it kind of seems like, I don't think it's unanimous, by the way, but certainly, you know, like, things that I've been seeing online, Villa fans just aren't feeling this one. And I can understand it if you look at it purely through the lens of Ross Barkley had a phenomenal 12 games for Aston Villa, got injured and fell off a cliff subsequently. But, you know, the Ross Barkley that we've seen at Luton, he's had to fight to get his career back on track, essentially. You know, he's had a fairly unsuccessful loan spell out in France in Ligue 1with Nice, obviously, where Morgan Sanson has just permanently signed for. Interestingly as well, I think, which people aren't acknowledging, is the Ineos connection there between the Manchester United links as well. Doesn't surprise me one bit that there has been sort of talks of United looking at Ross, you know, when he's on a free, and that they kind of, they're just an absolute tatters, and the midfield has been just a joke, hasn't it, really, all season. So it's a position that they need to address as well. But I feel quite good about this, mate. It feels like Ross Barkley's really got himself back on track. And we've seen what he's capable of, haven't we? You know, he's come to Villa. He scored a decent amount of goals for us during the lockdown season. And now, you know, we've seen Ross Barkley reborn by a slightly further back, dictating games. Obviously, Luton, sadly, you know, for them, didn't manage to stay in the league, but was a really important player in that side, weren't he, mate?
Well, I think that's the most important point to make, mate, is that for anybody, you know, that's... Look, I do get it. I think I should start there. I do understand that people are maybe a little bit... We wanted a bigger name, right?
Right.
To be the first signing of the Champions League era, to be picking up what is, that'd be around a 30-year-old player from Luton Town, doesn't exactly scream of the glitz and the glamour that we expected from Europe's premier competition. But I think that we also have to acknowledge all of the, and look, we've been having a very good season, so they've kind of been, I don't want to say swept under the carpet, but often we've had bigger news stories to focus on. There has been a lot of chatter about Villa's forced compliance with
profit and sustainability rules, financial fair play, whatever you want to call it, all of the rumors that have kind of been drifting around the periphery of Villa fans' consciousness for the last 6 months or so, that we would have to sell, you know, a pretty big name first team player in order to balance the books this summer. I think in the context of all of that, picking up a player on a free transfer of the standard of Ross Barkley is really one that I think we have to consider under that lens. And I also think that when you look at the bench that we fielded yesterday at Selhurst Park, which also included Unai Emery's son, I think that's definitely worth a mention on the podcast.
Absolutely.
A young goalkeeper, I think he's 21, 22. So shout out to that father-son relationship. I think when you look at that bench that we fielded yesterday, I don't believe there is a person listening to this podcast that wouldn't say that they'd rather have Ross Barkley in that situation, no offense to our young boys, than any of the lads that are currently sat in the substitutes. So I think that it's about depth. And there's also that point that it's not the same player. I genuinely believe that we had on loan. You know, he sat much deeper for Luton. He's led them in, you know, successful dribbles, long ball, passes, shots per game. He's become a real do-it-all midfielder. And I think what's most interesting is that this loan, as you rightly say, mate, this was red or black. Like, this was one last roll of the dice for Ross Barkley. Like, this move didn't work. If he went to Luton Town block, I genuinely don't know what would have been next. And I think that this move has paid off perfectly for him. I think he's done everything that he could have wanted from this move and more. Not only has it put him right back amongst, you know, the transfer list of some of the biggest clubs in the Premier League, but it almost got him within a shout of the Euro squad. And I think that's absolutely remarkable. So I think there's a lot to like from this. I think the fact that it's free completely changes this. You know, we were kind of having the same conversations, believe it or not, about Youri Tielemans, weren't we? 12 months ago, kind of going, nah, just been relegated, not sure about it. And look what that's turned into. And I think that, you know, picking up free transfers as and where we can, we've got a pretty good record of the Boubacar Kamara, Youri Tielemans. Let's hope Ross Barkley could follow suit.
Absolutely, mate. We spoke, I'm pretty sure I said a few weeks ago on the podcast, I wouldn't mind Villa looking at somebody like Wilfred Ndidi, who is also going to be out of contract, for the sort of short-term, you know, plug in the hole for that Boubacar Kamara position, the central defensive midfield position, because he's not going to be back till we're talking sort of late October, early November. It's going to take him just as long, if not longer, to sort of get himself back up to speed. And you're right, we quite clearly can't go out and spend all this big money on on a defensive midfielder who feasibly probably is going to be useless within the next year, because you then have Boubacar Kamara back at full fitness. And obviously, if you're going to go sign someone who's better than Bouba, which, you know, few and far between, that's going to cost you a pretty penny. So it's about being shrewd, and I think that's exactly what this move is. And, you know, as you rightfully say, Matt, I think people are probably sort of looking at this through the lens of, oh, well, he sort of played as a 10 and we don't really play with that anymore. Like, necessarily, it's not sort of this carved out and defined role that Ross had previously. But he's not really that. He's kind of, he's been that sort of double pivot six, if you like, in a two-man midfield at Luton, you know, wing-backs either side. He's had a lot of responsibility. And, you know, when you look at how we play, obviously we play with the two deeper midfielders as well. Shouldn't take any adjusting, knows the club, knows the area, certainly knows all the pubs, thanks to Jack Grealish. It feels like a no-brainer. As you say, it may not be the most glamorous signing, but I can say confidently with my chest, in 10, 12, 15 of the games where we've had to bring Timur Akbunam on, as much as I love Timur Akbunam, I would have much rather have had Ross Barkley as an option to bring on off the bench in those games. So I think that's the way we have to sort of look at it, mate. Are we levelling up the squad? Absolutely. Does it cost a lot? No. Should it happen? Yeah, why not?
I like it, mate. I like it. I think the other thing is that in terms of like-for-like replacements in the midfield, you know, you can bring out Douglas Luiz and put in Youri Tielemans. You've kind of got him, John McGinn and Youri, who can kind of, they're all different players, but they can kind of do similar things. And in Unai Emery's system, they've proven it to be interchangeable. I think you're absolutely right in that we don't really have another Boubacar Kamara, and that's something that we should look for. But we also don't really have another Jacob Ramsey. Jacob's a very interesting kind of profile in that I really like the way that Jacob can pick up the ball in midfield and drive it forward with the ball at his feet. You know, we've seen Dutch challenges, you know, Croqueta around sliding tackles and stuff like that, and play a ball out to the wings or a through ball through to Ollie Watkins. JJ's really good at progressing the ball, and we don't really have anybody with that kind of profile. And I think that, you know, assuming that we'll have Jacob back at his best for the first game of next season, I think this is a really nice, I don't want to say quite like for like, but I think this is, we go a long way in ensuring that, you know, we've seen that Jacob's had a spotty history with injuries, you know, touch wood that doesn't continue, but should it, I think Ruff Barkley's a really nice mould to put into that that could kind of offer the same output.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. A ball carrier is something that we need in the absence of a Jacob, in the absence of McGinn, who actually saw today, I think it was Who Scored, had said that the player in the Premier League with the most successful dribbles in throughout the entirety of the season was John McGinn, or he had the highest successful dribble completion rate, which is remarkable. What an accolade to have. But I think it's quite interesting, mate, how, you know, a few days before the Barkley news sort of broke, obviously I think it was reported by the Telegraph and Matt Law, who I think it's important to preface, is actually a Villa fan as well. So, you know, not that he would intentionally share false information or whatever, you know, obviously he's a phenomenal journalist, he really is, but I do find it quite interesting whenever he reports on the Villa, because I don't think a lot of people actually realise the connection that he has to the club and I guess the sort of role that he's fulfilling there. But he was reporting that Conor Gallagher had been linked and that there has been, you know, there's a very good relationship between both Aston Villa and Chelsea at board level. And, you know, I guess we do have a lot in common. We're both clubs that are, you know, fighting probably in different ways to keep in line with the profit and sustainability rules, which are a pain in the ass, but you can't really feel too sorry for Chelsea when they're selling hotels for 80 million. Anyway, that's a whole other debate. That's a whole other podcast in itself, mate, isn't it? But Conor Gallagher's another interesting profile, because is he a sexy player? Absolutely not. Would half of the Villa fan base turn their noses up at him? They already have. But it's running power. And I think ultimately, aside from John McGinn and Ollie Watkins, of course, as well, in a different position, Villa doesn't really have that. And whilst Gallagher and Barkley are different players, they do possess similar qualities. I find it interesting, mate, because, you know, we're talking about probably £40 million to even get Chelsea to the table, right, with how they need to comply with profit and sustainability. Also, that's a conversation that has to be done before the end of June, I'm pretty sure, which not a lot of deals tend to happen that early just because of how the cycle of financial fair play actually runs. That is something that could be used to our advantage, but, you know, as we sort of saw with Forrest and Brennan Johnson, they were more than happy to stick it out, wait for more money, and take the slap on the wrist when it came to the sale of Brennan Johnson and them sort of being in line with FFP PSR. Do I think this is a deal to watch out for? Yes, but I think when I sort of look at it through the perspective of Barkley coming in on a free, which looks extremely likely, you know, we're at the state of play right now, I'm not sure both deals get done, and definitely not without a sale from Villa.
Yeah, I think we've seen that John Duran could potentially be a kind of mate weight in this deal. He's someone that, you know, we've seen a lot of reports today that Diego Carlos is kind of on that list that Villa are happy to kind of listen to offers for. I think John Duran is probably on that list as well. I think, you know, obviously his likes on Twitter went viral the other day, which were basically a feed of Chelsea related content. And I think long before that, we've seen that Chelsea reportedly had an interest in John Duran, and he kind of fits that profile of young, high potential, you know, high resale value kind of players that they're going after. So it's not one that I think is outside the realms of possibility. I do think that Conor Gallagher might be. I know that there's apparently stalls over a new contract, which would really open the door. But I do ultimately think that outside of Cole Palmer, I think he's been Chelsea's best player this season. I think he has, you know, just got a great goal against us the other week in the league. And I think that he's someone that if I was Chelsea, I would really be looking to hold on to. You know, he's kind of become club captain in the absence of Reece James. And it surprises me, to be honest with you, that there is stalling over a contract, because if I were in the position at Chelsea, he'd be exactly the kind of player that I'd be looking to hold on to that isn't a signing that the fans do have some connection to, that came through your academy. He's one of the few really recognisable faces in that Chelsea squad. And so it surprises me that they're kind of leaving the door ajar. I think you're right in that, in the context of what looks to be a very careful summer financially for Villa, that this would, blowing the doors off right from the get-go like this, would seem a little out of keeping with what we're kind of hearing.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, mate. And, you know, I think the dialogue from Gallagher's side, he was sort of being shopped around to Spurs and to all sorts of other clubs last summer when Chelsea were trying to make money. And I'm pretty sure he didn't want to leave as well. You know, it was a case of, he wasn't asking to leave. It was being shoved rather than politely exiting the door himself. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. But I also think as well, like, as I said, he's not necessarily the sexiest player, but if you shaved his head, give him a skin fade, called him Conor Galigio or whatever, then all of a sudden people would be all over him. They'd be foaming at the mouth for a player like him. I think it has to be said, he's a good player. He is a very good player. And I don't think he probably gets the credit that he necessarily deserves. But it's definitely not, as I say, it's not the most exciting, it's not the most sexy rumour, mate. But this one is. This one's blown our bloody socks off, mate, hasn't it? Ronald Araujo, Barcelona, according to Sport, you know, massive outlet in Spain and continental Europe. There has to be, I mean, I know obviously with the Coutinho deal and all that, that was sort of done by Perslow and the old guard, but you would imagine that there are still perhaps strong relations between Villa and Barcelona, and Monchi will clearly know from his time in La Liga as well. You know, this is crazy. That did we talk about Jules Koundé on the podcast, mate? Because that was like a bit of a flash in the pan one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't around for the longest time. This has come from a far superior source in terms of credit and where that comes from. Do we have interest in Ronald Araujo? Who doesn't, right? You know, one of the better centre halves in continental Europe. You know, he's going to be going into a massive summer with Uruguay in the Copa America. Is this something that feasibly happens again, especially through the lens of PSR, FFP, all of that boring nonsense that obviously nobody wants to talk about when it comes to transfers and whatnot? How does this happen? Because this is like a 60, 70 million euro defender off the top of my head, mate. Araujo's phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Yeah, I think he's well within the realms of best centre-back in the world, shouts. I really don't think that's an exaggeration. He's become an absolute stalwart of that Barcelona lane. And there is still the kind of the swirling kind of issues that they have with their own financial situations that have kind of been going on for a long time. He's only 25 years old. I mean, it almost feels like we don't have to. Every now and again, there's a rumor you and I discuss where I'm kind of sat here, like, I don't really feel like I have too much detail on this guy. He is one of those guys, you know, he's the third captain at Barcelona. As I said, absolute rock in that back line. He's basically everything that you could want from a modern centre half. What I like most about this rumor is that the way it was phrased in Diario of Sport was that we had warned Barca that we would come for Araujo if we secured a place in the Champions. I love that. Just that at some point, you imagine at the end of the negotiations, but they come on long with, you know, we've all stood up, shaken hands, gone, yeah, thank you, bro. No, honestly, guys, thank you. Oh, by the way, if we get Champions League, your best defender. He's ours. I just thought that was absolutely great. But that's a good point to make, right? That we have done, surprisingly, a lot of deals with Barcelona. I say a lot. In the context of Aston Villa, we've done a lot of business with Barcelona in the last few years in the Tottenham Long Lane and Felipe Coutinho deals. And so it's interesting that, you know, Barcelona, apparently, you know, there's a little bit of concern about the amount of players that they have that can play centre-half. You know, they have Araujo, they have Inigo Martinez, they have Andres Christensen, they have someone like Clément Longley potentially coming back on loan. There are a lot of guys that have come in and stepped up from the reserves from the youth academy, like Pau Kaparsi, Hector Fort, have all played decent minutes this minute. And you imagine, given the kind of spirit of Barcelona, particularly someone like Pau Kaparsi will want a lot of minutes this season, which requires another shuffle in the back line. And so it's interesting that, yeah, with Eric Garcia potentially coming back on loan from Girona as well, they did that fold. There is certainly quite a hearty bank of centre-backs at that club. If I was Barcelona, the one name that I would be putting atop that list, not to sell, would be Ronald Araujo, which is where my doubts do come into this slightly. But this is exciting to kind of completely flip what I spoke about at the start about Ross Barkley. When we announced Champions League football, when it became official, these are the names that we dreamed of being linked with, and it's taken us less than a day after the season's ended. Should say that there's no kind of mention of talks ongoing or anything like that, but just that we're sniffing around Champions League football has unlocked the door for us potentially, that we've said for a while that, yeah, that we would be interested if we've got that. And here we are.
It's crazy, mate, isn't it? Do you reckon they would be up for a swap deal? We're talking like Diego Carlos and like 20 mil. I don't know. Yeah, get us in the room, won't you? Let's see. Let's see. But he's capable of playing that sort of third centre back, right back role as well. You know, it's mainly been Koundé that has occupied that position for Barca, but it's a position that Araujo is also familiar with as well. I think it's important to note, especially you know, given how we play and stuff like that. It makes total sense. This is one of Europe's premier defenders, and if you don't know, get to know. Because I mean, seeing this guy rock up at Villa Park, you know, Champions League football, this would just be phenomenal. It would truly be amazing, mate, wouldn't it? It's the fact that we're talking about players, this standard, this quality, it just goes to show you how important the Champions League is, mate, doesn't it?
Oh, mate, you're absolutely right. And I do believe fundamentally, I think there'll be one deal like this summer. I don't think there'll be many. I don't think that, you know, I don't think there'll be a huge amount of business this summer. I think it is just adding a couple of pieces of squad of quality, a little bit of squad depth in places. I think that is really the goal of this summer. But I do fundamentally believe there will be at least one name that we bring in kind of this caliber. And so it'd be interesting to see. We've already kind of seen a few links to some players, some, as you say, that have lasted longer than others. It'd be interesting to see how long this one sticks around.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. You know, I've not been able to shake this off my mind since you mentioned Landa Emery's name earlier. Doesn't he sound like he'd be like a rebel in Star Wars? He also has that look as well. You know what I mean? Like, this is a guy who's fighting the Galactic Empire. This isn't Aston Villa's future goalkeeper. This is a Star Wars character.
You're supposed to be in the depth of hop. Get back there.
What are you doing?
It's really interesting. I didn't even know he was at the club. And I do this a lot. I was kind of in a Wikipedia rabbit hole going through Unai, and I spent a bit of rallying on to check up how, like, Tommy O'Reilly and, you know, went there in January. We kind of had nothing off it. And I was going down those depths, and I found Unai's son, and then found out that he was in the under 21s. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting bit of piece of information. And then, boom, next day, he's in the bloody squad.
Nepotism you can get behind.
Yeah. God, oh, yep. I think it's important to mention, right? Just both Araujo. Mario Hermoso as well is, you know, Pichajes was saying today that one is getting closer again, kind of with Barkley and Gallagher. You imagine that's a bit of an either or, right?
Yeah, you'd think so. Although, obviously, both occupy similar but also different positions of the side. One will play left back, the other essentially play right back, all that. But yeah, I think it's a tough one, isn't it? Because we've rotated centre halves too much this season, really. And then you've got to look at that through the lens of, well, there's Tyrone Mings coming back. It's ridiculous almost. Obviously, Longley will be departing. Doubt that's made permanent, especially with all these links. It's going to be an interesting one. If I was a betting man, which I'm not, I would seriously be looking at Tyrone Mings to Ipswich.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something that's telling me that would be a fairly big signing for them. Obviously, he's been there before. I don't want Tyrone to leave at all. This isn't me wishing him to go, but Summit tells me that that is something that could be on the cards. Well, if it's Tyrone Mings or Austin Trusty, I hope it's Austin Trusty. But I'd love Ty to stay. I'd love Ty to stay. But you know that that's not came from anywhere. I've been thinking about that ever since they came up. I thought that it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, mate?
Yeah, I think whatever happens, we want the best. I'm really intrigued to see what the kind of plan is for Tyrone. I think it's got to have been painful for him to sit out this season. I really hope that the pecking order is quite quickly established. But yeah, like it seems pretty concrete that we're in the market for a centre back. And I think you would imagine it's potentially a one in one out situation with Diego Carlos. But again, you know, that's where potentially, you know, if you do bring in Mario Hermoso on a cut price deal on a free transfer and you sell Diego Carlos for, you know, I think it'd be less than what we signed him for, but that's a great way to potentially balance the books there.
Yeah, I think so, mate. I think so. But guys, you'll have to let us know your thoughts in the comment section down below on these rumours, on these deals. We would love to know your thoughts. And just want to give you guys a massive shout out for all your support throughout the season.
Yeah,
it's been up and down on the channel, not really for the Villa, because you know it's been a bloody brilliant season. But your support, it truly means the world. Another season in the can for you and I, mate. And we've got to mention the winner of the Villa Filler FPL League.
Yes, of course.
Give a shout out to McGinn and Tonic, which I also think, funnily enough, is your. Oh no, yours is Stranger Mings, isn't it?
Yes,
I know a few McGinn and Sonics though. Josh Holmes has won the Villa Filler FPL Mini League. So Josh, get in touch. We'll sort out a free kit for you, mate. Hopefully you listen to this. If not, if people know who Josh Holmes is and can put us in contact, that'd be great. Because last year's winner, we like addressed it on so many podcasts, couldn't get in touch with them. I think the winner of the cup came forward and was like, do I get anything for the cup? Sadly not, it's just a league. So sorry to burst in.
Maybe you get a pair of shorts next season.
That's a great idea. A pair of socks.
Yeah. Get the shot. We'll get you some in. You get a £10 limit on the Villa store. Go crazy, Weston.
Oh man, absolutely. But yeah, guys, shout out. We'll obviously do that again next season. The mini league is slowly getting bigger and bigger each time, so it's good to see that. And yeah, if you enjoyed, hit a like, comment your thoughts below, and subscribe for more. Up the Villa.